He's telling Daniel, I was there when you went over. I was there when you was made chief of the presidents. I stood to confirm and strengthen him. Now I will tell thee the truth. And he doesn't say he's going to tell it in symbolic language. He says he doesn't say he's going to tell it in symbols. I'm going to tell you the truth. And it's plain, literal language. No symbolism. Except in where the quotation is pulled from the previous part of the book and quoted here as to what's going to take place. It's literal. Now this amazes me. We're willing to accept this part of the vision. This vision goes right straight through the conversation and everything to the end of the 12th chapter. Now we're willing to say, except here as we begin the 11th chapter, that here is a literal prophecy, free from symbolism, free from representation. And then we get down to some hard places in the 11th chapter at the end. And instead of being willing to accept the literalness of it, we want to spiritualize it and symbolize it. And then when we get to the end of the 12th chapter, we get back and we want to call that literal. What consistency is there in that? It starts literal, it continues literal, and it's going to end literal. And it's for us to understand the meaning and significance of those facts. Now let's just notice the literalness of this prophecy. Now I will show you the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Now it doesn't say that the fourth all was going to be in Persia because there were many more. But he starts out and he says, now there's going to be yet three, and then there's going to be a fourth king that's going to start the program that will ultimately end in a change from Medo-Persia to Grecia. All right? There came yet three kings after Cyrus. Cambyses, a false Smyrnus, and Darius the Great. And then there was the fourth king, Xerxes, who stirred up all the nations that he could assemble and gather together against Greece. And when you read about the composition of his army that he assembled there in Western Asia Minor in his attack on Greece to subdue the city-states, it is quite an array of individuals from Ethiopia, Egypt, from everywhere that he could gather them, this great army. Herodotus, in his history of that period, lists 40 nations gathered together. Some historians stated that over 5 million men were gathered for the onslaught of the Greek city-states. And yet the Persians were defeated in a sea battle of Salamis. And they never again mounted that kind of a campaign. Then notice verse 3. And a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. Well, you have the rest of it in the previous parts of the prophecy. That great king is Alexander the Great. Because it goes on to say in the next verse, and when he shall stand up, the kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. And not to his posterity. Even though he had a son, an infant son, and though he had a brother that tried to assume control, they did not succeed. The son was killed. And it says, though according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside these. It was divided in the four winds of heaven. And thus you have the divisions of Alexander's empire. And immediately after setting this picture and this stage, the prophecy enters into the king of the south and the king of the north. Now if you'll look at your diagram, you'll find that I've marked it there, the Seleucid Empire, which was just the northern part of Alexandria, the Alexandrian Empire, the king of the north. The Ptolemaic Empire, down in Egypt, the king of the south. The two major divisions, the ultimate two major divisions of the Alexandrian Empire. Now the major section of the prophecy concerning the king of the north and the king of the south is covered starting with the 5th verse through the 15th verse. Now we ask ourselves a question, and I'm not going to go into the details and relate to you the history of the attacks back and forth between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids and how they moved back and forth across that area of this Palestine. You can read that in any history book at any given time if you wish to read it. But I do want to point out that these four divisions finally developed into just two major contenders, and there's a reason for them being emphasized here. These two, the Seleucid Empire and the Ptolemaic Empire, affected the history of Israel. And what did Gabriel say he's going to do? I'm going to tell you the history of your people. I'm explaining what's going to happen to the host of Israel. And so the story of the king of the north and the king of the south is that story which involves the fate of Israel during these centuries.